We invite you to open up your Bibles as we join Pastor Jin Lau for today's message.
Have you ever been hated? Has anyone ever told you in your face, "I hate you"? I'm not talking here about drama queens, okay, who just express, "I hate you," but not really mean that. And this is not talking about some casual things of saying, "I hate." There's so much hatred in the world today. Do you agree? There is so much hatred in the Western. We hear today of world leaders expressing their dislike with each other in public. In the Western culture, where we are, it's acceptable to say how you dislike another person even in public. When you open the news, you will hear of people getting killed, getting shot, getting poisoned. And it's sickening because even the parents, I mean the spouses would kill each other. Or even kids starting to do something harmful to their parents. As I wrote this message last Friday, this is the headlines in the news. Massacre in Yemen. Terror blast at two mosques reportedly kill at least 137 people. You probably heard that. And ISIS claimed responsibility for this. They're killing their own people, the same like faith. A pregnant woman begs for help after attack on baby. Why would anyone attack a baby, right? And then I heard also that the United States is trying to train 750 Ukrainian troops amid aggression in Russia because Ukraine and Russia are at war with each other. And then there's Floyd Mayweather announces his next fight. Oh, that's probably not should have been there. That's for next year. Anyway, you get the point, right? The point is, there's so much hatred in the world today. Not the Floyd Mayweather. Did you see the tattoo there? As we continue our series on Abide, I'd like for us to look at our passage, and we would study a passage where we would see even the disciples of Christ are so hated by people. And so we call our message today, Hated by the World. So let's look at some reasons for this hatred. And let's open our Bibles to John 15. John chapter 15, starting with verse 8. If you're using the church Bible, it's in page 1069. We will start with verse 8. 18, not 8. Verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. Let's pause there. If the world, the word there, if, is something more certain that will happen. It's not when it happens. If it happens, and it will happen. So that's the context of if the world hates you, because it will hate you. Now, what does the word world convey? If the world, who's the world, or what is the world? The world, in the Gospel of John, the evangelist John would write the world as pertaining to the place, the earth, where we live in, or it could be the people, humankind. But there's a third meaning for the world. It's the human system that is opposed to God. And that's what this is about. It's the human system that's opposed to God. This is the world that hates you. And keep in mind, Jesus said, that it hated me first. Now, when you seek God and when you worship God, you will be different. Why do I say that? I will substantiate that. But if you are a note taker, here's the first point. The world hates the disciples for being different. The world hates disciples for being different. One of the things that's so different about followers of Christ, and I'd like you to listen to this. When we sing songs such as the songs we worship God with earlier, we are able to cry out our hearts. I don't know about you. When we sing, "I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue," you cannot sing that song without passion in your heart. You cannot sing that song without emotions. You need to give it all, and that's being different. The world hates that. You see, people do not always appreciate differences, right? When there's a difference, what happens? When there's a difference between two individuals, what happens? There's a conflict. So the differences are not always appreciated. It can cause conflict. And it will definitely create tension in the world when you seek God, when you worship. And I'm glad that our youth are here, because when you seek God in the school, you're different. And people would look down on you, or they would look differently on you. And the same for all of us, the adults, in your workplace. When you seek God, you are different. And they might not like you. You know why? Because the world, let me say this very carefully, generally is heading towards godlessness. Let me say that again. The world is heading towards godlessness, specifically Christlessness. Without Christ, that's what the world we live in. Some of the quite obvious manifestations of godlessness or Christlessness today is the growing acceptance of same-sex marriage, right? Let me say this very clearly. We are not promoting homophobic. What's homophobic? When you have an irrational fear or hatred against homosexuals. When there is a discrimination against homosexuals and homosexuality. Let me say this very clearly. At Heart of Faith, we promote loving. I believe God calls us to love. Even those who have different sexual orientations, we are not supposed to be hating them. But the Bible clearly also says that marriage remains to be between a man and a woman. It's clear, right? And that's why we stick to that. And when you stick to what the Bible says, the human system opposes that. And when you are opposing the human system, you are different. You are being intolerant. And so people might not like you. Some of you might have heard of Westmater's story. Have you heard of anyone? Heard of Westmater's story? No one. Westmater is a chaplain in the Navy. He is highly decorated, 19 years in service, and he has very high-profile assignments, such as being the chaplain for the Navy SEALs. His commander, a few months ago, said, Westmater is the best of the best. He also said that he is a consummate professional leader and he's worthy of early promotion. But all this changed. You know why? There was an assistant that came, and this assistant inquired about Westmater's view of life, view of marriage, view against about homosexuality. Chaplain Mater did not know that this assistant is a gay officer who's married to another same-sex person. And so this assistant filed a 5-page complaint against the chaplain. And so in reaction, this is what the Navy did to Westmater. They removed Chaplain Mater from his unit and isolated him into the base chapel. He was prohibited to talk to his constituents. He's never to minister to their spiritual needs. And his commander launched a 3-pronged attack against him. And these are what's listed. First, that Westmater be removed from the promotion list. Secondly, that he would be detached for cause. I don't know what that means in the Navy. You might have a sense of what that means. Detached from the cause. But the third is that he would be brought before an official board of inquiry where he could be involuntarily forced out of the Navy. What does that mean? He will be discharged. Why? Because Westmater was saying his views about marriage according to God's word. He is sticking into his belief. What was Westmater doing? He was doing his work. He was called to be a Christian chaplain, right? And as a Christian chaplain, he has to exercise his faith based on his understanding of God's word. And when he was asked, "What do you think about homosexuality?" all he said is, "It's not biblical." And because of that, Westmater now is in danger of being fired from the Navy. He was simply practicing his faith based on God's word. If you don't like to have problems, this is what Martin Luther said. If you want to have peace in the world, just be silent about me. But if you oppose and teach otherwise, that they must be saved by me, then just be resigned to the necessity of being hated and persecuted by the world to the utmost. You want peace? Shut up. Don't talk about your faith. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is true and that His word is alive, friends, we cannot remain silent anymore. And this is the very reason why America today is becoming like this, because of Christians being so quiet. We are not speaking about our faith, and we're not living our faith in Christ. And there are many hypocrites in the church today that they go to church, but yet outside they're not even looking like Christians at all. If we hold on to God's word, if we keep our finger to the text, it will be different from the world's direction and the world's view. The struggle between good and evil started from way back in the time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But there is a point in history, and I would like you to participate here. There's a point in history where there was a major boost in terms of shifting the focus from God to man. Would you know what time, what age in the time of human history there was a boost in changing the focus from God to man? It's called the Age of Enlightenment. Anyone heard? Age of Enlightenment. What is that also called? The Age of Enlightenment. Anyone? The Age of Enlightenment is also called the Age of Reason. Okay? This is from 1650s to 1780s. This is the time of people, philosophers like René Descartes. What did he say? I think, therefore, I am. Philosophy. From focusing on God, it has become focused on man, because this is the era where people, where the culture and intellectual forces in Western civilization emphasize on reason, on analysis, and individualism rather than faith in God. Some of you might recall, during Christmas, we would see billboards saying, do not believe in Christmas, right? There has to be a reason. The atheist group that promotes that is called COR. There's a San Diego COR. You know what COR stands for? COR stands for Coalition of Reason. They said instead of believing in faith, have reason. And that is what the culture we live in right now. That's what the teachers in the school teaches us. Reason. It has to be within bounds of reason. It's not about blind faith. Not faith. Now, I'd like you to look at this research done by Pew Research Center. It's one of the great examples of showing where the world is heading. I said the world is generally heading towards godlessness and Christlessness. Look at this. Every line is growing from 2007 to 2012. And I don't know what is 13 and 14. What's not growing here? There's only one group that's not growing, the Christians. The Christians are decreasing the most. The change is 5%. While the rest are growing. Other faith unaffiliated, atheist, agnostic, atheist, they believe that God does not exist. Agnostic, there's no God at all. It's a very similar thing, but they don't believe in Christ. While this data shows that Christianity is still the majority, this is America, by the way, I would not be surprised that in the future, or even now, the Christians would become the oddball of society. The Christians would become the oddball of society. And when you speak about things pertaining to Christ, you would be frowned upon. You know why? This is the day and age that politically correct is more important than doing what's right in God's eyes. To be politically correct is more important now in doing what God's word says. To stand for your spiritual conviction is considered politically incorrect. Here's another thing. Very recently, my son John here in seventh grade, they had a visitor. And the visitor was an imam. You know what an imam is? An imam is a teacher in the mosque, the Muslims. And so the imam was talking, I said, why was there an imam? John said, they are tracing back history and civilization. I said, would you have a pastor to speak? There's no pastor. But if you would think about it, Christianity has been there even before the establishment of Islam. Why is there no talk about Christianity? Well, the imam tried to convince the students, to say, oh, you know what? Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, they're all the same because we believe in a monotheistic God. There's only one God. We have different expressions. It's all different ways to God. Have you heard of that explanation? Friends, do not believe in that. It's not the same God. Our God does not call us to kill when people are infidel. When they don't believe, they kill. People are tortured because of their faith. We should never forget what happened in February when 21 Coptic Christians from Egypt, they were fishermen. What happened to them? They were beheaded by the ISIS because they were followers of Christ. What did they do? They were just fishing. But because they were followers of Christ, because they were infidel, they had to be killed. That's not the same God. The name of the game today, my dear friends, is called pluralism. We need to understand what this term is because you might hear more of this. Pluralism is that the same faith should coexist in the same given space. Pluralism. There should be an acceptance of Islam. There should be acceptance of Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity. Do not highlight your differences. Just live in peace together. It's good for us to have peace. God has called us to be messengers of peace. But don't take it that they would say, we believe in the same God. It's not the same God. Now, you might say, so, Pastor, why do we have to emphasize our faith in Jesus Christ? Can we not just say, oh, we believe in God? And that would be safe enough, right? We believe in God. No, we believe in Jesus as God. Why? Let's read in 19b here. Continuing in verse 19, the second part of verse 19, chapter 15. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Jesus is telling each one of us, followers of Christ who proclaim Jesus as Lord, you have been chosen and taken you out of the world. And that's why he is the one who chooses you. That's why we should proclaim Christ. We should not be thinking about being safe. Verse 20, remember what I told you. A servant's not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours. So here's the second reason why the world hates the disciples. For being identified with Christ. So first was for being different. Second is for being identified with Christ. It says you do not belong to the world. So be reminded of that. Some of us have given our lives to Christ. I hope all of us have given our lives to Christ. But if some of us have taken it back to live just like the world lives, please do not. Do not take it back. Because what we need to understand here now is our identity in Christ is so important. Our identity in Christ is so immensely important. You know why? Because if we have our identity in Christ very strongly grounded, founded in Him, we will be free from following the world's system. We would be free from proving our worth to the world. When we do not know that Christ is all that we need, then we would always be trying to prove ourselves to the world. We need to prove ourselves in terms of our looks, in terms of our possessions, in terms of many things. We need to show the world that we can be as good. But when I am secure in God's love, I don't need to compete with the world system. I don't need to look like one of the Hollywood stars. I don't need to drive one of the best cars. The world's way is called one-up. What does that mean? To be one-upping is to be one step ahead of. It could be your classmates, it could be your friends, it could be your coworkers, it could be people here in the church. Some of you have met my missionary friend, Fel and Lori. Their daughter, their oldest daughter, Kristen, and her husband, Eric, decided to serve God in Kenya, in Africa. Very young couple, and they have three kids. they went to Kenya about 2 years now. And Fel and Lori visited them. When Fel and Lori visited, they brought Eric and Kristen's stuff. So they came with lots and lots of boxes. They did not know that the neighbor of Eric and Kristen have been watching them. They've been keeping an eye on them. What's happening to this family? And so when Fel and Lori came, they have lots of gifts. And when the kids, the small kids, would come out, they would come out with a new toy. Let's say a sword. When this boy comes with a new sword, this neighbor was looking and said, "My son also needs to have a sword." And so he would go to a store in Kenya and buy his son a sword that's similar to that. The following day, when he sees the daughters carrying a new doll, he would go drive to the mall and buy a doll that's similar to that. What do you think of that kind of response? How would you describe that in one word? Is that inspiring, encouraging? How would you describe? Come on, let me hear. Competitive? Envious. Pretentious, okay? It's crazy, right? It's plainly crazy. In the Western culture, in America, it's called keeping up with the Joneses. When they have this, you've got to have this the same also. In fact, not just the same, better. That's one up. You want to have better. They have a new car, I have to have a new car. They have a dog, I need to have a St. Bernard. Right? Oh, they have a cat, I need to have a tiger. It's crazy. But you know what? If we will not be careful, we can fall into the same. We can fall into the same trap. We say, that's crazy, that's insane, you cannot keep up with the Joneses. But sometimes, if we are not careful, we unconsciously keep up with the trend as well. What's the latest there? If we keep watching TV, we would see what's the latest trend. We would see what's the latest fashion. And there is an unconscious push for us to have the same thing. It is insane. If we will not be careful, sometimes we would choose fashion more than function. And that's very important, my dear friends. Because it's not about fashion. It's not about what people say, "Oh, you look so good in your new clothes." Jesus has chosen you to be out of the world. And Jesus has called you to be his own. What counts most is what God says about us, not what people. Does that make sense? It doesn't have to be at par or at the standard of the world. If we will not be careful, listen to this, we will start comparing ourselves to others. And we would keep looking at the other side. Oh, the other side's always a greener pasture. They painted their house green. I should paint my house greener. You know, we cannot keep up with that. Your worth is more than your look. Your worth is more than what you have. Your worth is more than what you have in your bank account. Your worth is more than your achievement. Your worth is in Jesus Christ. Amen? That is why our identity in Christ is the most important. If we are in Christ, that's enough. Because if we will never have that foundation in Christ, we will always long for things. For praises, we would always long for approval of others. We cannot do that. Listen to this. Who you are is not as important as whose you are. If you are the Lord's, then that's the most important thing. I like this photo. Please take a look at this. Dare to be different. Isn't that so nice? When everybody's bowing down, and I believe they were bowing down this way, I know that's just a child. And you'd say, "Pastor, maybe that child is just looking for his mom and dad." That's exactly the point. When there is a childlike faith in us, we don't care what the rest of those around us do. They bow down to worship the world system, but we just look for our Father. Because our security is in Christ. So do you dare to be different? But not just for the sake of being different. I would challenge all of you, all of us here, Do we dare to be different for Jesus? Do we dare to be different for Jesus? Here's the third reason for being hated by the world. The world hates us for being, the world hates us because they are being ill-informed about God. Ill-informed is they are not informed enough, and they are informed in a wrong way. Verse 21. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. And we will see that again in chapter 16 later. But here's the thing. It's very sad that people who oppose God do not really know why they oppose God. They don't even know the Father. It's like when a child is a picky eater and the father gives this girl something that's very nutritious. And the girl, because picky, what does she say? I don't like this. And the father would say, have you tasted it? Guess what's the answer? No. But I don't like it. It's irrational, right? There's irrational. There's no logical reason there. When in fact, they wanted to become more reasonable. Many people oppose God even when they don't even know why. The hatred of the world is due ultimately to their attitude toward the Father. They do not like the Father. But here, listen, we also contribute to the hatred of the world. You know why? Because the followers of Christ do not live like Christians. Because of our unchristian behavior. They say, is that what you call Christianity? I might as well stay in my home and not go to church if that's what you call Christianity. Because I don't like that. That's not attractive to me. Friends, we need to evaluate. Is our Christianity only good for Sunday? Or is it good for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday? That's the kind of Christianity that the world needs to see and that the world longs to have. Because they want to see something that's authentic, that's real. It's not just for a certain season. It's not just for Christmas. It's not just for Easter. It's for every day. When you are in plenty, when you're in want, you are still a Christian. You're still worshiping God. Amen? That is what you call being rooted in Christ. So to be politically correct, people don't speak truth. One of the reasons why people don't like, verse 22, don't like the disciples, this is what Jesus said, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Why were they guilty? Because Jesus had to tell them the truth. And more often than not, the truth hurts. Isn't that true? More often than not, the truth hurts. And so usually, here's the thing. We casually take note of this. When we put on something and we ask our spouse, do I look good in this? Sometimes the truth hurts. And so we just say, yeah, you look good. Right? But beyond the casual thing about how we look, the truth often hurts. And so to be politically correct, people don't speak the truth anymore so that they won't offend anyone. This thinking, however, is twisted. You know why? Sin will always hurt. May I say that again? Sin will always hurt, no matter what. And so Jesus confronts us with the truth because he loves us so much, he needs to bring out the truth. Friends, he's saying, you are not yet connected. And so I want you to connect with me. That's in a sense what he's saying. But we need to keep speaking the truth, but not just speak the truth. We need to speak the truth in love. I'd like for us to read verse 15 of Ephesians 4 together aloud, because this is something, it's on the screen. We don't need to turn there. I'd like us to keep this in mind, ingrained in our minds and in our hearts. Let's read this together if we would, please. Let's read. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. That is the Christ. Let's not forget these two things here. Truth in love. We speak the truth in love. We cannot just be one-sided. You keep speaking the truth, people will not listen to you anymore.
because it's too painful. You keep loving without the truth, it doesn't stand. The person will not grow. A good thing for us as followers of Christ is to keep that principle in mind. We speak the truth in love. Does that make sense? Verse 23. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If anyone had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what's written in their law. They hated me without reason. This is the inconsistency of the world. The world wants to be reason about reasonable. Reasonableness, right? The age of reason. But yet here, they hate Christ without reason. Last March 14, I read a web blogger. And I think the writer is a lady. And this is what she said. We live in a world of the perpetually offended. She's saying that many people are easily offended, whether it's about the flag or prayer or scripture or utterance of God. Atheists are the leaders of the, what she calls the OMG, I'm so offended charge. This is how she wrote it. They are the leaders of the OMG, I'm so offended charge. She goes on to write, let's get it straight. They have every right to believe in nothing. That's totally their prerogative, and quite frankly, they're simply missing out. But I find it perplexing. I've honestly never seen a group of people so offended by someone they don't even believe in. So you can see why this story made my day. This is a story of a student in White Oak, Texas, who was offended by the principal. The principal's name is Dan Knoll. Dan Knoll, he did his usual morning announcement last week. Dan Knoll, after the morning announcement, as his usual practice for many years, he would read the scripture. Now, this morning announcement is recorded every day. And so this student was so offended, she got a recording of this and sent it over to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And I have said this group before, FFRF, Freedom From Religion Group Foundation, Freedom From Religion Foundation. And so the FFRF wrote the superintendent, the boss of Dan Knoll, of the principal, and saying, you should discipline this principal because he is doing something that's not good. He is violating the First Amendment of the Constitution. The principal's, I like this, the superintendent's response is epic here. The reason why it's epic is because this is how the principal responded. He said, as far as he is concerned, principal Dan Knoll has done nothing illegal, and that he is aware of the practices of reading the scripture. And this is how he ended his response to the FFRF. I am sorry you feel that way. I will be praying for you and your staff daily. People are easily offended. And when people are offended, and when we are offended, we can retaliate. We can answer back, right? The world hates us when we are different for Jesus, when we are identified with Jesus and for not knowing God enough. So how do we deal with the world's hatred? Let's continue reading verse 26 to 27. Verse 26, when the advocate, remember the advocate? The advocate is our par excellence lawyer. He is the best. He's the Holy Spirit. He is the best lawyer. He's the best friend that you can ever have, your BFF, your new best friend. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I'd like to suggest three things for us to overcome the world's hatred. How do we deal with the world's hatred? First, and this is all S's so that we can easily remember. First is shift the camera of your life. I mentioned this before, but I think it is good for us to be reminded. Shift the camera of your life. From focusing on yourself, focus on God. See, when the advocate comes, I will send you from the Father, and he will testify about Jesus. And we also must testify about Jesus. It's not about us, my dear friends. It's not about how good our lives are. It's about the glory of God. So stop focusing on yourself. God loves you more than you do yourself. So here's the thing. You don't need to have the best score in your game system. You don't need to have the highest grades in your class. You don't need to own the latest gadget. You don't even need to look dashingly fabulous. Instead, let God be seen in us. The focus, let it be on God, not on ourselves. Does that make sense? Anything that does not pertain to the glory of God, you don't need to set your mind on these things. Please turn to chapter 16, verse 1. Let's continue reading. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away, so that you will not go astray. This is the essence of the Lord's message here. All this is so that you will not fall away. The theological term for that falling away or to go astray is apostasy. When you don't believe and trust in Jesus anymore. What he is saying here is that when you are being hated, when you are suffering, do not turn away from God. Turn to God instead. And so he is giving this warning now. Verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. Remember the ISIS people? They think they're doing service to their God, Allah. Verse 3, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. Verse 4, I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. Here's the second thing, how we can handle the world's hatred. Stick to God's word. You stick to God's word. Keep reading God's word. Jesus has already warned you. These things will come to pass. These things will happen. You are a Christian. You will be hated by the world. And don't fall away. Instead, go to God. Hold on to your faith. By the way, please take note. Who are, in verse 2, who are the people who would put the disciples out of the synagogue? Who are these people? These people are those who would kill you and they think that they are doing a service to God. They are people in the synagogue, okay? That's why they can take you out of the synagogue because they are in. In our modern day context today, let me say this with very carefully, it's not only the world who will hate you, it's the church people also. The church people will also not like you sometimes. And what do we do with that? When somebody does not like you, what do? They leave the church because they don't like you. If they don't like the pastor, they leave. But you know what happens when that is happening? It goes to show what's the motive of a person's heart. Because when we come to church, it's not about, oh, I like the music. I like the AC. I'm blessed by this. When we come to church, dear friends, it's about the glory of God. It's not about our glory, amen? And so we come here, we don't look around. I don't like this person. I don't like his face. I don't like his smell. I don't like his shirt. We can be offended. We can say, OMG, I'm so offended by this person. I'm leaving this church. No way. That's not a disciple. A disciple is someone who says, this is where God has called me. I will stay here. Even if I'm offended by anyone, because it's not about me. It's about the glory of God. The focus is not on us, it's on Him. That's why we shift. And we stick to God's word. Here's the third one. So we shift the focus, we stick to God's word, and this is very important. We stay in God's love. We stay in Christ's love. Because love is the only stronger emotion that overcomes hatred. Love is the strongest emotion, actually, that overcomes everything. Love conquers all, right? I started this message by asking you, have you ever been told, I hate you? I have. I have been told that. And I have asked this. There was a time This happened to me with a family member. This is not my wife. This is not my mother-in-law, okay? I have asked this person permission, and I hope you would take comfort in this, that I will not use any of you as an illustration for my message without asking your permission. But I've asked this person permission to share this. There was a time when I confronted somebody in my family I dearly love. I sensed that there was something she did, and so I asked her, something is gone. Something got lost. She became a little defensive about that. Eventually, she admitted that she had something to do with why this thing was lost. But she became more and more defensive to recognize that she was responsible. Now, at this time when I was confronting this person, I was not very secure in God's love. What was I after? I was after what's right. If there's something that's not right, if there's something hidden, let it come out. If there's something wrong, let it be corrected, right? You write what's wrong. But just like many of us, when we're confronted and we are guilty, what do? We become more defensive. Our defense walls are so high up there. And so this is what happened between this person and me. She started to accuse me instead. She said, "You don't understand me." I said, "OMG, I'm so offended. I'm the one who lost something, and now I am the one who's bad." Right? I think some of you can identify with that. When you are supposed to be the victim, and now you have become the bad person. At this point, God captured my heart. God captured my heart because I realized it's not about who's right here. It's about the glory of God. And God would be glorified if my relationship with this person would be that of love. If there is love between the two of us. And I was reminded of John 15:9. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." At this time, God gave me the grace and the strength to shift the camera back to him. At this time, God gave me the grace and the strength to stick to God's word. "God, you said you have loved me. And so I just need to remain in your love." At this time, I stuck to his word, and at this time, I'd like to remain in his love. I don't need to prove anymore that I am right and that this person is wrong. I found myself, I'm secure in God's love. I don't need anymore to prove between the two of us, I'm right, you're wrong. It's about the glory of God. Because God reminded me that the person who was wronged most is Jesus Christ. He being so pure, sinless, innocent, he was accused wrongly. And because he was accused wrongly, he had to be punished in a way that the humiliation will be seen by the entire world. See how that's so sick, how that doesn't make sense at all. But yet, what did Jesus do? He did not say a word against his accusers. And so by this time, I came back to my senses and I offered this person a glass of cold water. I said, "Do you want water?" Because at this time, this person was shaking. She was literally shaking and crying profusely. And I told her, "I love you. I love you." You know what happened? The defense wall came down. It's not anymore about, "You don't understand me." It's not anymore, "I hate you." She cried even more. You know why? She said, "I am sorry that I yelled at you. I'm sorry." She apologized. And you need to know that this person does not easily apologize, especially to me. A person who keeps bringing what is right. But right now, because of love, there is an understanding. Friends, oftentimes, we are hated when we speak the truth without love. And there is so much misunderstanding. I think it's time for us to just stay in God's love. It's time for us to stick to God's word. It's time for us to shift the camera out from ourselves. It's not about who's right. It's about the glory of God. Therefore, we can move on and march on. And by the way, I would encourage us, if we remain in God's love, let's not embarrass people. Because embarrassing people, it's not loving. Embarrassing people is putting them down. So let us not speak about others when they're not around. Or when they're around, let's not speak ill about them. Instead, let's encourage them and lift them up. Amen? Amen. I'd like to ask our worship team to come. And I'd like for us to respond as we think about God and the world. It's quite ironic. It's a picture of darkness and light. Because the world is known by its hatred, but the disciples are known by what? By? Remember what Jesus said? The world will know that you're my disciples by your love. Can we say that again? The world is known by the hatred, but you will be known by your love. I pray that we would grow more in love, and the only way for us to become more loving is to remain in God's love. This is how we know what love is. When we look at the cross, and when we look at the cross, we know that Jesus is the one who said, "I will never let go of you because I love you so much." And so I pray that we would be able to respond in worship. Let's respond in worship through song. Let's respond in worship through our giving. If you would, stand up, worship God. If you want to kneel down, do so. Sit down if you want, or raise your hand, whatever it takes for you to just declare that God will never let go of you because He is so loving. He's so faithful and true. Let's worship.